Welcome to City Valley Church. Our vision is to be a family, loving Jesus, growing together and reaching Yorkshire and the nations. We hope you are encouraged and hear Jesus speak to you as you listen to this recording.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Al was meant to be doing this bit, but poor old Al is broken down on the motorway somewhere, so I don't know exactly what I'm doing. But a few of us have got some testimonies from Devoted, but I thought I'd just give you a little bit of an overview of what Devoted is, what went on, just so you have an idea in case you don't know. So last weekend, there was a group of us from City Valley who went down to Devoted, which is, yes, put your hand up if you were there. Woo, it was great. It was a small but great group. There's about 20 of us. Yeah, lovely. Joe at the back. Yeah, thanks, Joe. So it was with about 2,000 other people as part of the group of churches that we're part of called Christ Central, which is across the UK and across the world as well. So there's a group, groups from different churches all across the UK, about 2,000 people in total gathering together. Over the bank holiday, there was worship times all together, there was kids groups, there was kind of seminar streams for adults, and then there was some more times in the evening where there was some talks. Pardon? Oh my goodness. I'm going to get you up to do the talking in a bit then, Amelia. Yeah, so there was loads going on. There were bouncy castles, there was colour runs, there were reptile zoos, there was loads of stuff for the kids and the adults all over the site. It was really good. I'm going to get some other people up in a bit, but just my reflection from it, from the weekend, it's not particularly mind-blowing, but we were in a place, we'd had a very kind of busy week on the run-up to Devoted, and if I'm really honest, I got to Thursday and we were saying, do we want to do this? Is this, are we going to be able to get the car packed in time? Are we going to get out? It was busy, it was stressful. We were like, no, let's do it. We've paid the money, let's go. And I really thought it would be an exhausting weekend. And in some ways, you know, it was hard work camping with kids. But in other ways, it was just so refreshing. Being together with the family of God was just a really refreshing time. And for it being in that big group with 2,000 people, but really, I think for me, the special bits were being together with the church family and in those moments around the campsite where we could spend time chatting in ways that we wouldn't necessarily have time to on a Sunday morning, just having fun together, watching the kids have fun together. And we were all at different stages. Some of us had young children, some of us had older children, some of us were single. It was a whole mix of different people, but just to be able to spend time together, just enjoying each other's company, was really special. And actually, it sounds mundane, but those moments, they felt really holy to me, so it was just really lovely. I was thinking of the word magical, but actually that's holy. There was something about it where it's just like, this is great just to take time together. So I'd recommend prioritizing it when it comes around again, just putting it in your diaries, making room in your budget for it. I know those things can all be barriers, but it was really, really worth it. And I think we're going to hear from some people. Laura, are you going to come and share? And if anyone else wants to share, I don't really know who's sharing, so just come and grab the mic.
Hi, everyone. Just listening to Mamie, probably reflecting over the week, probably would say something really similar. It was absolutely wonderful to take the kids and see that they're part of a huge, big church family, and just to see there were like 2,000 of us praising God together. I definitely felt God speak to me about something he spoke to me about maybe 7 years ago and really reminds me and bring that to the forefront and think about what he wants me to do with that at the moment. So that was something he spoke to me about, and definitely saw my children engaging more. But absolutely agree that the really big special thing for me was that spending time with our City Valley family. And I was trying to think how to explain it as well. And I really just felt God was in that. His presence was there. And it just, I mean, it wasn't like we were doing anything special. We were just hanging out together, talking, playing silly games, having a laugh. But it was so special. It was... by the end of it, it just made me think, I want every single one of you part of City Valley there next time. I don't want anyone to miss out on this. What can we do to make sure that anyone who feels they have barriers, that we can help them overcome? Because it was just really, really wonderful. And I would love all of you to experience it.
And over to Rachel. Oh, wow.
Got notes. Hello. I feel like I've written too much down now. So my testimony for this morning goes back a little bit further than to Devoted last weekend. So for the last probably 5 years or so, I've been feeling quite disconnected from faith, wondering, what does Christianity offer me now, today? I'm okay with, you know, the facts of it. I'm good with that, but I wasn't sure what it means to be a Christian now in 2025. And it kind of started in the pandemic years. I was at home, as we all were. Not only had the world changed, but our family had changed. We had a newborn and a toddler. Yes, you. And it was hard. And I found it hard to know what people meant when they were saying that they were doing things in God's strength. I kind of didn't have any frame of reference of what that meant and what that meant for me. And I started to feel resentful, actually, that I could see people around me who were in the same job as me, who were, you know, they were good at their jobs because they'd worked hard and had good qualities, and I had my job because God had called me to it and God had given it to me. And I felt like, why can't I have any of the credit for this? I've worked really hard too. Life was fine, and I was feeling resentful, and I was feeling like I didn't know why this kind of part of Christianity mattered for me now today. So that sets the scene a little bit for where I was. So going into Devoted, I knew that things weren't great. I knew that I needed a change. I didn't really know how to get there. I was recognising that over the years I'd grown more and more hard-hearted, prideful, not compassionate, and I didn't like those things about myself. So I was aware that there was a change. And whilst I was at Devoted, that was what clicked. That is why being a Christian is important to me now, today. Because on my own, I am not compassionate, I am not patient, I am proud, I'm arrogant, and of course I am, because I'm only human. And how many of us could say that we don't have any of those qualities some of the time? And I began to understand that that's what it means to live in God's strength, to not feel like you have to do it on your own, because it is through having a relationship with Jesus and being made more like Jesus every day that allows me to be patient and compassionate and be a good mum and be good at my job. So that's what I've learnt, really. I've learnt that, of course, the gifts that I have are from God, and that's not a bad thing. It's not a thing to be resentful of. It's a thing to be really grateful for, and it doesn't take away the fact that I've worked hard to get where I am in life. It's a gift. And so when I've come back to God after 5 years of being really disconnected, he hasn't said, "Do you know what, Rach, you've been a bit distant for a while. I'm not sure I can trust that this isn't going to happen again. Let's take it slow." He's gone, "Great, you're back. You're my daughter. I made you. I love you. I made you for a relationship with me." And when I pray, he answers me. And when I ask him to show me things, he talks to me. And it's just, it feels like such a revelation. But yeah, I got so much out of the weekend, and God has really honoured the commitment to going, really. So.
Praise God.
Amazing. So one of the absolute highlights for me during our times of worship in the mornings was that, you know, the team at Devoted was so good at wanting to equip and empower the children and parents to all be involved. You know, you have those moments where someone comes and brings a prophetic word or speaks in tongues, and the tendency can be to switch off a little bit and think, oh, that's for the front row to work out and we'll just receive it. But I loved at Devoted, they were just so good at making it accessible for the children and encouraging the children to be listening and catching what Jesus was saying and how the Spirit was at work. And there was one particular morning where they just made lots of room for it and they prioritized the children, and someone came and brought sung a tongue, and we just waited, and they led the children into this kind of time of trying to catch what Jesus was saying, making it really relaxed and simple, that actually the children are much a part of this as anything else. And children came up and shared what they thought the interpretation was, and just everyone was just so encouraged and built up by how God was speaking, not just through the grown-ups, but through the children and families. And you could just see across the whole room pockets of conversations going on where families were just chatting and trying to catch what Jesus was saying. And just what a wonderful picture of what it is to be church, that kind of training ground of learning what God's voice sounds like and then how we apply it to our lives. And I absolutely loved it. And during that time, me and Levi had a bit of a conversation, and we tried to catch a bit of what God was saying. And Levi, you got a picture, didn't you? And do you want to hold it up nice and high? And Levi, for those who can't see it from the back, do you want to just describe what picture you felt like Jesus gave you that morning?
There were two paths. One was leading your way, one was leading another way, which was God's way. And underneath it, it says, follow me even when others aren't.
It's just wonderful that that's how Jesus speaks to even our youngest people. Sorry, Levi, I wasn't going to cry. But I think that's just so precious, isn't it? That even at the youngest ages, Jesus is speaking and preparing us for what it means to follow him for our whole lives. And I just think that's for all of us. We can keep choosing God's way and not our own way, whether we're 7 years old or whether we're 100 years old. It still remains the same, doesn't it? And God speaks today. And so I was super encouraged by that, and I hope you are too. And what I've taken away is just, let's just keep going. all of us as a church, even those mornings where you turn up and you feel exhausted and you think, oh, it's another Sunday, it will be the same as the last Sunday. No, let's have faith and believe that Jesus will speak through us and through our young people, and together we can keep following him. Wonderful. Thanks, Levi.
Great. Is there anyone else who is at Devoted who wants to share joy? Yeah, Joy, you can come up. And Felix, did you want to say anything? Okay.
Can you...
Yeah. I think Felix had a really good time, didn't you, Felix? Yeah, it was lots of fun.
Hiya. It's just off the back of what Matt said there about the children being, you know, encouraged to hear from God. And one of the... There's been something that I've been praying about and struggling with for a while, and asking God for a breakthrough and to speak into. And although, like, so one of the children came up that, you know, to share from the front, which is a really brave thing to do. And what they said just really spoke into that situation. And it didn't bring breakthrough in that moment, but it just said to me, God has seen this. Like, and he's, you know, it's going to take time, and there's some work, but God's seen it. And yeah, and I'm just so thankful that they gave time for, you know, to empower the children to be able to come and share. And that just really encouraged me and spoke to me. So yeah, I just want to share that.
Thanks, Joy. Anyone else? Any kids or... No, over to you, Becky.
I'm going to invite Josh up, who's just going to share something from New Day. I will say a little bit more about New Day a bit later on, but Josh has to leave in a few minutes. But just to say that there is a table over here for crafts for the children, if any children want to do that. And while Josh is speaking, we're just going to display this banner along the front.
Okay. So, firstly, New Day event was like really good. So it was like, it was just beautiful to see like a lot of people actually coming to God, and there was a lot of healing. So normally the healing night is like on a Thursday, but the funny thing is the first day we came to New Day, there were over like 1,000 or 100 people that got healed that same day. And it's, a lot of people still came to like meet God on the first day, which surprised me because that's the first time that's happened. And aside from that, it was just like, there were also a lot of revelations happening, and it was just like, because last year I had a revelation from God, but it was really vague. Then this year, it was more, there was more clear. It was, there was a lot of clarity in the revelation. And I was able to use that and try and heal someone, but not physically. It was more bring closure to the person because the person was feeling, well, basically God was telling me what to do, and that helped. So thank you all for praying and helping out, and that, and my brother's surgery was also a success. So yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Josh, for sharing. For those of you who don't know, last year Josh shared about he had a revelation around healing and just believing God's given them a gift of healing. And it was just, it was beautiful to see our young people at New Day, which was a similar thing to Devoted, but just for teenagers. So there was about 9,000-10,000 young people just going for it, which was just incredible. But to see our young people just ministering to each other, this is so beautiful. And Josh very much was in there ministering to anybody he could get his hands on. So, it's very, very encouraging. On that, we do have a New Day PowerPoint thing, just to give you a bit of an idea of what New Day was like this year. We haven't got so many testimonies from young people today, but actually I think more will come through as the year goes on. But it was just a really, really special time. So if we just share the PowerPoint just to get a glimpse of New Day. I'll tell you, there's nothing more absurd than having a bunch of minions worshipping God. I really got the giggles. It was such a wonderful... There was about 10,000 people dressed up, and it was insane. Really, really fun. So thank you for your prayers and for buying cakes and everything that helped us get to New Day. We will be going again next year, so we'll be doing a lot more cake sales this year again, but it's completely worth it. Joanna, I'm just going to invite you up just to share something.
Hey everyone, this banner is amazing, and so as I start my testimony, I'm just going to try and fix it. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Joanna. Can you fix it? I know. Sorry. The kids, felt like I was being a distraction. The kids just did so beautifully, and thank you, kids, this looks beautiful. And I want to give thanks to the Lord and just share, I'll try and be brief, about the story of becoming a mum, about Josh and I becoming parents, but just sharing about how God used this church family within that. So I moved to Bradford when I married Josh, which was 8 years ago on Tuesday. I had waited a long time for a husband, so to be honest, I just made this weird assumption that because God had made me wait for a husband, we wouldn't have to wait for a child. It was just in my head, I just thought, I've done my waiting, God has tested me, I've been patient, and now that's all the waiting in my life over, which was really immature and naive. But it turned out we wanted to start a family, and after a few years went by, it didn't happen. And we weren't sure if we were going to become parents. Tests were really slow. They would never have the results. But in this, we were content with where we are, but we really were sharing with the community around us off within the church. So for those of you who weren't part of the church, as we came out of COVID, we met in another church building, and we shared the building. So we met as a big group every second week, and on the alternate weeks we had home church. So Josh and myself hosted a home church in our house. We led that with Steph and with Laura, and that was a really wonderful time at the start of 2022. We really enjoyed, as a house church, sharing our lives together, praying for each other, and really getting to know each other. It's not always easy living in... That's the blessing that I'm giving thanks for here, causing a scene. But as a community, it was, we were all different. It took a while. It took a while to get over the awkwardness. It took a while to be trusting of each other to share our lives. But it was wonderful. And by the end of 2022, we decided, okay, for 2023, let's share particular prayer requests that we're going to pray into. We asked the children to decorate an envelope for everybody. This is mine. I don't think I was especially a favourite. All I got was one little gem, whereas certain people got very decorative envelopes. And this is mine. So this is from December 2022. And this was our prayer requests. And within it, it said, for God to enable us to get pregnant. And it was quite specific that we wanted that to be naturally rather than having to consider IVF or anything else. The reason for that was purely I was not sure if God was calling us to be parents. And I really wanted it to be natural so that I knew that that was God saying, yes, you can do this, because I was terrified, basically. So that was the prayer for the year ahead. As part of that, I'm not actually quite sure when. This is one of my most treasured possessions, and this is where I'll get emotional. Because Laura de Concesau, who was in our house church, she crocheted this blanket long before we conceived, and she used it as a prayer device. So as she crocheted this blanket, she was praying that one day it would be used for a baby. And I think she held on to it for quite a while, but she had faith, sometimes probably when we didn't. And by the end of that year that we were praying, unbeknownst to us, to be honest, in December, we fell pregnant with Amy. The church then moved, we transitioned back to worshipping corporately every week, which has been wonderful. And we, at that point, started prayer groups. And again, that was a new step. There was a change of people in the group, but we really wanted to go in faithfully and in prayer. And at the start of January 2024 was our first prayer group. Josh, I wasn't there that night. I was away, and Josh had shared, and I think, Josh, you shared about wanting to become a parent and the fact that this had been a journey and we were starting to think maybe it's not going to happen. Literally a week later, we were able to say to them, whoa, you guys work fast. And we sent them the photo of the test result. So that's a lot of information, but I think I just wanted to testify to the fact, first of all, maybe just never assume about what God is going to do for you, what or when, whether just keep trusting and praying and listening for his voice. But really what I want to encourage is that you stay in a Christian community, share life with each other, share your prayers, walk with each other. Your situations and life paths are going to be different. We've been having like a really easy year, while others are having a really hard year. That's always going to change, and we really want to walk with each other, and that's the blessing of being part of a community, is you can, those who are maybe having an easier time can really uphold those who aren't, and it's going to change, and you're going to need each other in life all the time. And do just pray regularly for the people in your life. Pray faithfully and with commitment and dedication for those in the church, particularly in your prayer group. And just, yeah, it's been so wonderful to now have Amy, our daughter, and to be able to share her with this community. So we thank you for your love for us, for Amy, for your prayers. And Josh, did you have anything to share? Off the back of that. I think Josh then felt he had a Bible verse. Hello, Poppet.
Take this, please. Yes. I thought I would just compliment my wife. She looks great. And then compliment what she had to say. Not by giving any sort of impromptu sermon, but just a little Bible passage which seems to fit well. And it's a psalm which resonates, hopefully not just with us, but with some of you. It's Psalm 37, won't read all of it, but the bit at the start is most appropriate. And it goes like this. Don't worry about the wicked or envy those who are doing wrong. For they like grass soon fade away, and like spring flowers they soon wither. But trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Doesn't say when, but it just says he'll give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will help you. He'll make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. And that's certainly been the case for us, for different aspects of our lives. We have waited patiently, not always with extreme patience, sometimes with frayed patience, but we have waited, and we can certainly testify, I certainly can, that he has given the desires of our heart. I'm in my mid-40s, and again, like John, I thought I knew what I wanted in my life, and it would happen sooner, but frankly, I'm glad it's happened now, and I can certainly testify to the wisdom and the truth of that psalm written 3,000 odd years ago.
Oh, guys, thank you so much. And she's an absolute blessing, so praise God. Edward, do you want to come up? Edward's just going to share, and then we're going to hear from Rachel and Nathan, and we're then going to hear from the children, and then we're going to praise God to end.
This is a testimony to something that happened over 70 years ago, but I wouldn't be here if that hadn't happened. And it goes back to my parents, as you can tell from my skin color. My parents were from India and then lived in Pakistan. My father was a Muslim. My mother was a Catholic. They went to university together. They fell in love. In fact, they were competing quite strongly as to who'd be first in each year. And they fell in love, and so she gave up being a Catholic, married in the Muslim church, and had a Muslim wedding, and then came to live in Dhaka, which was then East Pakistan, but it was after partition in the 47. But my mother came to a point where in the Catholic church, and you might not like certain things the Catholic church does, so there's a lot of wealth of God's love in it. She cried out to the Lord because she couldn't take communion. She couldn't have intimacy with the Lord, which was really on her heart. And so she cried out to the Lord to sort the problem. Now you have to think of, in a Muslim country back in the 1950s, a woman had no chance of a job. You know, it doesn't matter what you were. The wife was meant to be at home and just look after kids and do things like that. You know, you were, had no value. In fact, the Quran says a wife has half the value, or a woman has half the value of a man. You know? So she just cried out to the Lord, you need to sort this. I need a job so that I can leave my husband and get things sorted. She didn't know this, but I've heard this story myself directly. There were nuns in another part of the town that she had never met, who father had said, sorry, I always cry at this one. Go give this woman a job. They didn't know her from Adam. And remember the story that they said. They drove up and down the street where she lived, because God had told her where she was, several times, thinking, we can't do this thing. It's so foolish. We don't know who this woman is. We don't know if she can teach. We don't. In the end, they picked up the courage to answer what God had put on their hearts. Sorry. And they offered her the job to teach, but she wasn't a trained teacher, so that's another miracle. And so she said to my dad, I'm leaving you, and the nuns put her up in the convent. My father then, I don't know, I can only assume it's the grace of God, agreed they would get married in the Catholic Church. And then and the other miracle was, not only that, he agreed that we could be brought up as Catholics. Now, for a Muslim in a Muslim country, and he suffered a lot from his own family from that, and that's another testimony another time, that happened, you know. So, no matter what you've done in your life, or what you think anyone else has done, his mercy endures forever. Amen.
What a beautiful, beautiful testimony. Thank you so much, Edward. Rachel and Nathan, would you like to come and share? So we've had people going to Devoted, and we've had people going to New Day, but we've also had people going to Zambia. And so Nathan and Rachel are just going to share a little bit about their trip and what they got up to.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Hello, everybody. So those of you who don't know us as yet, I'm Rachel, this is Nathan, and we've got four of our children here today. We went 4 weeks ago, and we've also got in-law, like Nathan's sister and husband, and so lots of us here today. But 4 weeks ago, we went with our oldest children over to Zambia. And you might think, why Zambia? I've never been that far, ever. I hate flying, so this was huge in itself. But you can see over here, we've got a big picture with my friend Leah and her husband Larry. Some of you may have some connection with this beautiful family from Mosaic Church and other places. They lived in Bradford up until 10 years ago when they went over to Zambia. Leah went because she's a trained doctor and she felt called by God to go and do some medical work over there. Larry is a teacher, felt that he could really help and become a pastor and plant a church there as well. So I've been friends with Leah since I was 12. And when they moved over there, my heart was broken. I was like, you know, we need to go and see them. And amazingly, we did. So we're just going to talk through some slides and show you what we got on with over there.
Can you do the next slide for us? So I'll just give you a few facts, really, on the place that we went to. So the photos here showing some of Kapiri Miposhi. Just some quick facts. Population of around 180,000 people. Quality of life is very poor. In fact, over 60% of Zambia falls below the poverty line. You don't actually see many old people in Kapiri. There's a reason for that, because the average life expectancy is only up to 55 years of age. Zambia is currently experiencing a massive drought and also power. They've got problems with energy and power source. The local currency is kwacha, which you can see in the top left-hand corner. Choppies here is the equivalent to our Tesco, so you can go in there and you can get all the food that you require. You see a lot of this happening. Typically, the ladies carrying items on the head, they're taught from a very young age on how to carry things on the head. And we saw all sorts of objects, didn't we, on people's heads, mattresses.
Sewing machines,
yeah. here's the flag of Zambia, and in the background is a toilet block with a couple of holes in the ground, which Ellie and Jude found absolutely hilarious. So this up in the corner here is the yellow box and the red box there is where they transfer money. This is a new thing in Zambia. That's transformed the country, where you can go into the box and you can text and make money transfer, which has transformed people's lives in Zambia. Let's do the next slide for us, please. Okay, this is Larry's church that got planted. It got planted there quite some time ago with the help of a lot of support from Bradford, churches in Bradford. It's called Umwe Church. And this little hut there is where Emmanuel lives, and Emmanuel is employed by the church to look after the people there. They've got a big Sunday school of 49 children, and as you can see, they worship in a tent in the bottom left-hand picture there. One evening we went to a prayer meeting and the lights went out because of the power surges in Zambia, so we worshipped in the dark with just a light on there. I did a preach on the Sunday on faith based on Hebrews chapter 11 and Luke chapter 17. Hebrews 11 is the great hall of faith there, and it is about faith. Taking action with your faith. It's not just about listening. It's not just about waiting for God to do something in your life. He may do things, but faith requires a step of action. So my preach was an hour long, and they quite like long sermons over there. So they were happy with that. There's just so much joy in the church. Really wonderful. Next slide. Thank you. And the youth group here, There's Ellie in the circle. This is in Larry's garden, and the youth group came over and they were playing something called Broken Telephone, which is the equivalent of Chinese whispers here. Ellie, you really enjoyed it, didn't you? You did. So they sing and clap Broken Telephone. It's hilarious. Here is a typical a meal that was prepared for us. What was the name of the meal?
I can't remember now. Don't put me on the spot.
Niche? Something like that. Yeah. It looked like mashed potato. It was okay. And in the bottom left-hand corner, we played football with the boys from the youth group. Okay, next slide.
That's up to me. Yeah, it was just such a wonderful experience. We met a really lovely couple from the church. They were called Philip and Agnes, and they'd been searching for a church to settle in for some time. Agnes and I immediately just clicked. You know, when you meet another person and there's something in your soul that resonates. I complimented her skirt. She came along with one of these beautiful wraps the next day that she'd got off the market for me. Such a generous heart. We were having a giggle dancing around the cooking pot. Somebody said it was like a scene from Macbeth, but we won't go there. we've got Ellie in one of the wraps up there as well. We just got immersed into the experience. They owned this beautiful farm that had a maize field, and the maize was higher than I, and we were walking through it, just talking about Zambian life and their community. You can see Jude and Nathan, Larry, with the male members of the family as well. They're building a new house out there, so they were walking around this new house and showing us all about it. The next slide, thank you. I made a trip to the hospital over there because my friend Leah really asked if I could do some. I work in the NHS here and I work with adults that have had strokes, so she wanted me to teach the doctors and the physios a little bit about some basic communication and swallowing awareness. So they have a children's ward, men's ward, women's ward, and a neonatal new ward. I didn't know anything to do with little babies. I didn't want to teach anything on those, but I did do some teaching to the doctors and the physios on stroke care, which was a real privilege. And I was just touched by how much they really lapped up, wanting knowledge, wanting support, wanting ideas of new ways of working. And what really touched me is in the NHS, we never pray before a meeting or anything that we do. I would love it if we did. They did. As soon as I walked in, they thanked me for coming and they said, let's pray. And we prayed. It's such a Christian community in Zambia, and that really stood out to me. The next slide. Oh, Kapiri Hills, last story, and then we'll just reflect on what God was talking to us. We went for a walk. If anybody knows Nathan, he's like attached to hills as much as possible, loves hill walking. So we all went into the hills. It was brilliant going up there, nice scramble, beautiful, beautiful place. What we did was misjudge the timing of the sun coming down. Not Nathan's fault at all, but the other chap that was with us felt that the sun would fall out the sky and then we'd still have time to get down, but we didn't. It was completely pitch black. So at this point, we all fortunately had head torches, but it was cliff edges. To me, it's my worst nightmare. I'm like, I'm lost in the dark. I'm picturing lions, tigers. There's none of those, but I was picturing them. And panicking a little bit. So I said at one point on the mountain with the kids, right, we're just going to pray. And I prayed that God would safely get us down from here, partly because there was also a fire, which was not funny because it was a bush fire and it was lapping over to the left. And then as we were struggling to get down, it was coming closer and closer. And I just thought, this is what horror stories are made of. My 16-year-old was incredibly brave because, unbeknown to us, he actually got bitten by something in the hills and didn't tell us until we got to the ground, so we didn't panic. But we suspected it was a snake or a spider. So had a quick dash to the hospital for the antivenom, which he fortunately didn't need. But again, like God's protection, to be bitten by something in the Kapiri Hills that wasn't venomous is quite unusual. And I was just so thankful to God that Leah could ring the hospital and say, somebody's coming in, we think it's a snake bite, can you get things ready? Because you've got 20 minutes in these cases, so my heart was pounding. But you know, thank God it is a story that we can now tell in sort of humour, that, you know, we were safe on those hills and we got down, and we have quite a tale to tell. So I guess if I just summarise what I've really taken from the trip, firstly about fear. I mean, my house group people that are here know how much I hate flying, and I'm really grateful for them for praying that I would be okay on the flight. We got on a massive plane, a big Airbus, and it was genuinely absolutely fine. I'd never felt fearful, which is incredible. So usually the run up to it I'm terrified, and I was, but when it came to the day and getting on that plane, I just did it and I was not afraid, which I think is an incredible testament to people's prayer. Just thinking about the joy of the community and being around fellow Christians. The shops were called things like God Provides, and there was scripture everywhere. The bus had A Time for Everything written on the back of it, mainly because it was always late. But there's some real Christian songs in shops, and I loved just being among fellow Christians in Africa. But just back to the fear thing, finally, I think, you know, for me, if I can give God my fear, like I did about flying, what more can he do? And I think that's an encouragement for us all, that when we feel that fear, it's real, acknowledge it, but give it to God, declare it, say, this isn't of you, I don't want any more of this. And what more can he do through us? Look at what he's done through Larry and Leah and their faithfulness, despite fear of taking small children over to a different country. He's, you know, done so much. So that would be my encouragement.
Okay, and for me, personally, the trip has deepened my faith. Anything that you can do for God, taking a step and exercising faith is good for us all. So and I encourage you all to, with your faith, to put steps into action to and to actually exercise that faith, which is what we're doing this morning, praising God. The other thing is seeing the poverty, but seeing the joy in people really was truly inspiring and humbling to me. The poverty out there is shocking. The roads are terrible. There are no homes. And yet you would expect people to be suffering. And yet it's quite the opposite. I'm sure they are suffering, but on their faces is absolutely wonderful joy. And so I encourage you all with your faith to spread God's love that is inside of you, to use the faith that God has given you as a gift that is inside of you, and use that faith to step out of your comfort zones and to talk to as many people as you can about Jesus, and to praise God to everybody that you meet, and not be scared about doing that. So that's one thing that I bring back, is because faith is confidence and assurance in what is unseen. So confidence is key with your faith. And finally, I think that's my lesson, is not to be afraid of sharing faith. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rachel and Nathan. It's wonderful to hear about your trip, and just for that encouragement to step out in faith. As somebody who is also very afraid of flying, I really resonate with that. So well done. but that was beautiful. Steph, do you just want to come and share what's on your heart? And then...
Okay, this is very impromptu. I wasn't thinking of doing this, but seeing as Nathan just said about stepping out in faith, and it's about action. And the fact that Joanna did this banner, it just reminded me of a few weeks ago. I was in hospital, and I was literally in A&E, hooked up to a drip for 13 hours before I saw a doctor, and it was just horrendous. And for those of you that know, I've spent a lot of my life in hospital, so I didn't tell anyone at first, because who wants to sit in A&E and wait with someone when they're sick? I've done it many times, so I knew I wasn't dying. I was, you know, going to be okay. But Joanna decided to come to the hospital and sit with me for a few hours, which made the time pass a bit quicker. But as I eventually got put on a trolley, there was a clock on the wall. And I was like, there was a word on this clock. It was stuck at 10 past 4. I took a picture of it because it seemed significant. I didn't pray because I thought, God, I've prayed so many times that I wouldn't have to come back into this place. But you don't really answer that prayer, so I'm not going to pray. But I knew house group were praying. And the word on the clock was banner. And I was like, that's a significant word, banner. What are you saying to me? And I kind of thought, I could just look at that and not take anything from it. Or I could put my faith into action and think on it, ask God what he's saying. Anyway, I text Laura Baldwin, who's not here, and I said, there's this word on the clock, and I don't really have the brain capacity to work out what it means. Will you have a look in the Bible and then come back and tell me? Anyway, she snuck into the hospital that morning, and she said, come on, let's have a Bible study. So she got a Bible out, and the Lord is my banner. It means to unite a people. It means a focus point when in battle, and I was certainly in battle. It's the Lord's protection over you. It's intervention by God. And then Psalm 20, it says, may he grant your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. And I thought, my heart's desire is not to be stuck in here, but hey, we'll go with it. And then it says, may you shout for joy over your salvation. And then in the name of God, set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. Now there's a whole load more stuff about banner. I won't go on about that. But the thing that stood out to me was like unity, like, you know, he unites people and it's a place of protection. And it was like, even though I didn't feel like I was being protected, God was clearly speaking to me through a clock. Now, I always think, God, we should just speak in an audible voice. But that was quite a clear thing. And I just, every time now I see a banner, I think of that. And I was actually on holiday a couple of nights ago, and I was talking to a friend who claims she's a scientist. She doesn't really believe in God. But I was talking to her how God can speak through a clock. And he's spoken to me before in hospital. And I was like, there's obviously a significant thing. He knows that I need to hear from him. So what I would say to you from that is, you might think, okay, God doesn't speak through an audible voice to you, but keep your eyes open, because you never know where he's going to speak to you. He spoke to me through a clock. So he could speak over you in any way that he feels like it.
Thank you so much. Wow, thank you so much, Steph. That's beautiful. Joanna, I'm just going to...
Children, we don't want you to miss out on maybe on sharing anything that you've made or you've drawn. So at the activity table, we've had children making things that they're thankful for. Does anybody want to come up and show us? We're just at the end. I mean, do you want to come up? Come here. Can you hold it high? Some are shy, but Amelia, come on up. Can you hold high what you've made? What have you made?
A bunny and an octopus.
A bunny and an octopus. I agree. I love, we had pet bunnies and we're really thankful for them. That's beautiful. Thank you. Louis, do you want to show us? Can I hold it up? So this says, I am thankful for, and I see cars, lots of cars, a bike, that's great. Some sporting equipment. That's fantastic, Louis. Thank you. Anybody else want to share before we go? No? Oh, sorry, I didn't see you. Come on, Jacob. Jacob, what do you have? What have you made?
I have made this for my dad.
Can I hold it up so everybody can see? Oh, it's got a lot. That is beautiful. There's loads of flowers and insects. That is beautiful. Thank you so much, children. That's really lovely. We've had thanks for a lot. I've seen pictures with sea creatures. Lots of children thankful for their mummies and daddies and friends. So it's just really wonderful. Will I pass back to you? Yes.
Well,
Well, I don't know about you, but I feel like my faith bucket's just been filled. So thank you so much to everybody for just sharing what God's been doing. It's been a wonderful morning. We're just going to end just in one last song. So do just stand and let's just worship together.
Let's sing, I love you, Lord, your mercy never fails me.
I love you, Lord, oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head.
Thank you for listening. We pray you have been blessed by this talk today. If you would like to know more about our church, where we meet, or would like to speak with someone from City Valley, please visit our website at cityvalley.org.